Welcome, everybody. Today is Wednesday, November 25th, 2020, one day before Thanksgiving, and we are here at United Orthodox Synagogues, or I am here at United Orthodox Synagogues, for our weekly Lunch and Learn, the Mitzvah Shi'ur, Parshat Vayetze. And I thought we would talk a little bit about sleeping in halacha. Now, this is a huge topic, by the way, which has ramifications in lots of different areas of halacha. We're only going to touch on one, maybe two of them today. Yet the topic is vast, like I said. And the reason I've decided to talk about this topic today is because we have a famous sleeping episode that takes place in this week's parsha. And that is Yaakov is running away from Esav after he stole the brachot, which we talked about last week. He stole the brachot. We talked about telling the truth, right? He stole the brachot. He's running away. And at one point, he decides to take a rest. Vayetze Yaakov mibe'er shava vayelech harana vayefka b'makom vayalan sham kiva ha-shemesh. He gets to the place and he decides to rest there because the sun was going down. Vayikach me'avnei hamakom, and he took some of the stones from the place. Vayasem mirashotav, and he put them around his head or under his head. Vayishkav hamakom ahu, and he went to sleep in that place. And then he has a famous dream. Vayachalom v'nei sulam mutzav arza, the famous Jacob's ladder dream. And he sees angels, v'nei malachi, malachi Elohim, olim v'yordim bo. God's angels are going up and down the ladder. And God speaks to him in this dream. And then when he's promised Zerah and Aretz, like his father and grandfather were, he's promised the land and progeny. And then when he wakes up, he's very upset. Vayikatz Yaakov mishnato. Yaakov wakes up from his sleep. Vayomer achein yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh va'anochi lo yadati. There is God in this place, and I did not know. And Rashi, on that comment of Yaakov, says, she'ilu yadati, had I known that there was God in this place, lo yashanti b'makom kadosh kazeh, I would not have slept in this holy place. So the first thing we learned is no sleeping in shul, right? No sleeping in shul because it's a holy place and we don't sleep. We learned from Yaakov that had he known there was God in that place, he would not have slept. Okay. Oh, that includes, by the way, the rabbi's sermon, no sleeping in shul, even during the rabbi's sermon. Okay. Everyone has their camera off because no one wants me to see them sleeping. Oh, there we go. We have some people's cameras on. Okay. Let's see. Although I see someone's camera, all they see is the top of their head. Oh, Yaffa, I see the top of your head only. Now I see your eyes. If you want to adjust your screen, you can leave it like that if you'd like, but if you'd like to adjust your screen, you can. Okay, so Yaakov did not know this was a holy place. And had he known, he says, he would not have gone to sleep. He would not have slept there. So let's talk about sleeping in halacha. And we are going to talk about sleeping in the context of the Beit HaKnesset, sleeping in the context of the shul, specifically sleeping during davening. And if someone who is sleeping during davening can count in a minyan, right? Interesting question. Let's see. Let's take a poll. We know for a minyan, there needs to be 10 men. Okay, let's say you're in shul and there's 10 people there, right? And one of them is sleeping. Can you continue with the davening that requires a minyan? Can you say Kaddish, Baruch Hu, Kedusha? Can you do the things that require a minyan when davening? So that's the question. Anyone want to put something in the chat? Or raise their hand. Okay, Nitza, please unmute.
Does it say anywhere that he should be awake?
Ah, okay. It's a good question. That's a good question. Does it say anywhere that someone in shul needs to be awake to count?
And men.
Okay. That's a very, very good point. We will see. That is a lot of what this debate hinges on. The presence of 10 men may define us or create, let's say, a certain status, and a certain status, let's say, of God's presence being there. And it doesn't make a difference if they're sleeping or awake, maybe. So now how many of them, though, Nitza, how many of them could be sleeping, in your opinion? Let's say you're right. How many of them could be sleeping? Do you have a view on that? No, you don't want to go that far. But at least if one is sleeping, that should be okay. All right, Zach?
Does it say what age the people should be, or
bar mitzvah, over bar mitzvah.
Okay.
Over bar mitzvah and anyone living. Okay, go ahead, Zach. You have to unmute.
Okay. Yes. It's an interesting question because what is minyan and our prayer? It's meditation. What is a sleep? Sleep also could be considered as meditation because we have a Torah, such beautiful example, how much our dreams, which comes during our sleep, impact our life. This is topic by itself, huge. However, my answer would be yes. We can consider if it's less than half minyan as of sleeping people as a full minyan.
So as long as it's less than half.
Right.
Interesting. Very interesting. Okay. Let's see. Beth. All right, go ahead.
I think Linda already mentioned it. I was going to say that you have to be conscientious because if you're praying, you have to be conscious, right?
Okay.
So you have to be awake.
You have to be awake. All right, so we got two votes for sleeping, yes. One vote for sleeping, no. Linda.
Me, Linda?
Yes, Linda Cantor.
Yeah, I put it on chat. I said I would think somebody would have to be mentally present in order to be counted.
Okay, excellent. Oh, these are such good.
They're like a lump.
Okay, excellent. Let's see. Linda Mosley. Unmute. Unmute Linda Mosley.
Sorry.
There you go.
Maybe you could be asleep for some things, but awake must be awake for others.
Let's talk about the things that only require a minion.
That's what I'm talking about.
Right. So for those, you have to be awake, you're saying.
No, maybe you could be awake as just being part of the minion. But if you were asleep, then you couldn't do some of the responses or the davening. But
that's my question. Not everything requires a minion, right? You don't need a minion to daven. But you need a minion to repeat the Amida. You need a minion to say Kaddish and Kedusha. So do you have to be awake for those things?
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. Okay. Excellent. Okay. Let's see. Mom. The next is Tana.
Okay. Don't you have to answer at some point with an Amen or something?
At some point you have to answer the Amen, although that may not mean that you can't go ahead.
But if you're asleep, you can't answer.
That is true. That is true. Okay. Chana Sassoon.
Can you hear me?
Go ahead, yes.
What about you have a minion of 10 Jewish bocherim that they are not religious, they don't understand the tefillah, they doesn't know anything, but it's still considered. Is it, can we compare that to sleep people?
I mean, that's very interesting. Maybe we'll get into that. That's very interesting. Okay.
Because they don't understand anything anyway, let's say.
Okay.
So it's considered to the one that is sleeping, but it will be still considered as a minion because they are physically there.
Okay, great. Let's dive into this. See some great answers. Excellent. So we're going to see a few sources here. We'll start with the Gemara in Masechet Brachot that says, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Katan Hamutal Ba'arisa Mizamnim Alav. A minor who's lying in a cradle, right, a crib, can be included in a Zimun. A Zimun is the 3 or 10 people we need to do the additional invitation to Birkat HaMazon, right, when we do Rabotai Nivarech. Right, when you don't have 3 people or 10 people, you just say Birkat HaMazon on your own. But when you have those people, then you add some additional praise of God beforehand. So the Gemara says that a minor, a baby in a crib, so obviously this is a very small child because they're still in their crib, counts towards the Zimun. Now, this statement of the Gemara. A lot of our discussion of whether or not a sleeping person counts in a minyan hinges on this statement of the Gemara and the different ways it is understood. So let's see. We first come to the Beit Yosef. The Beit Yosef, written by Yosef Karo, who also wrote the Shulchan Aruch, right? But before he wrote the Shulchan Aruch, he wrote the Beit Yosef, which is a commentary on an earlier code called the Tur. And there he writes as follows. He quotes the Hagot Maimoniot, who's a commentary on the Rambam, who says as follows: She'im hitchil echad lehitpalel levado ve'eino yachol lanot imahem. Talking about answering, right? My mom mentioned this. So let's say you have 10 people, but one of them is davening the Amida. So they can't answer Amen. Right? Ve'eino yachol lanot imahem. It says right here, ve'eino yachol lanot imahem. They cannot answer. Ve'ein kan elatisha sheyachol lanot. And there are only 9 who could answer. Afilu hachi, nonetheless, says Dagot Maimoniot, mitztaref imahem. That 10th person who can't, because they are in the middle of their own davening, and they're not allowed to stop to respond, they count as part of the 10. So you have, so that this is a minion of exactly 10 people. One of them is in the middle of the Amida. They count towards the 10 if you want to continue with, let's say, the repetition of the Amida. Dichtiv. And now this pasuk that we're going to quote here was actually alluded to by many of you who came up with the same idea without quoting the pasuk. It was excellent. Dichtiv. V'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael, that I will be sanctified amongst the Jewish people. Akol asara d'b'nei kedusha ninu shchina sharia. As long as there are 10, then God's presence is there. So you could argue, like Nitzah argued, they're there. They happen to be sleeping, but they're there. Right? As long as they are there, God's presence is there, which is what is required for the minyan. And then he goes on to quote, to say that exactly in the second highlighted section. Umikan lamad mori harav hagadol marein harav Yaakov beirav, she'im haya echad yoshein. If one of them is sleeping, mitstaref im tisha lekadish ulekedusha, they count as the 10th. In order to be able to say Kaddish or Kedusha, Dekevan Deika Asara, Debnei Kedusha Ninhu, Shapir Sharye Shechinta Alaihu. Since there are 10 people, God's presence is there. So, stage one, approach number one, which you all suggested, that in order to have a minyan, you need God's presence. God's presence is defined by 10. It doesn't indicate whether they're asleep or awake. They are physically there. So therefore, God's presence is there. Okay. So you guys all, a number of you came up with that very idea, right? So that was excellent. So here the definition of a sleeping person still, I guess, has that sanctity, still is considered to be present in every way, right? That's, I think, what is at the heart of this discussion. A sleeping person is considered to be present enough for God's presence to be there for 10. That is Rav Yosef Karo. And if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, again, written by the same person, he writes the following. If one of the 10 people started to pray on their own, and therefore they cannot answer, and he can't answer them, O Shehu Yoshein, or they are sleeping, afilu hachi, nonetheless, mitztaref imahen, he counts them. That is the bottom line of the Shulchan Aruch. Going back to his own reasoning, which he shared with us in the Beit Yosef, that it's all dependent on whether or not God's presence is there. And that is dependent on the simple presence of 10 men. And if they are there, God's presence is there, that's a minyan, you can carry on. That's one approach. Put that in column A. Okay? Is there another approach that you could think of that maybe lead us to say the opposite, that a sleeping person should not be counted in a minyan?
His mind is not there.
His mind is not there. Okay, excellent, Chana. Good, we're getting there. His mind is not there. Anyone else? I hope no one fell asleep. If you don't have your screen on, I'm just to assume you fell asleep.
Wait.
We're talking about sleeping.
Rabbi Gelman, it says, ve'afta, in the ve'afta, you have to do it b'chol lebavcha, u'v'chol nafshecha, u'v'chol meodecha. So maybe it has a relationship when you are.
Oh, okay. But it doesn't say halalta v'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha. Although here we're not talking about davening here. Remember, that's a great point, Chana. We're not talking about someone davening. We're talking about whether they count in the minyan. Let's say I davened already, and I'm sitting in the back of the shul, and there's another minyan going on. I count. I'm not davening. So we're not talking. You're right, Chana. Tefillah should be with kavanah and with all and being fully present. But here we're not talking about davening. Here we're talking about counting in the minyan. They're really two different things. Okay, Leora. Go ahead, Leora.
Yes. Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes.
I think you also need to have an impact on the other people. You have to participate and be part of the whole things, so they also feel that you're there. That's what I think.
Okay, very interesting. It's a community, and therefore we need to participate in order to count. All right, good. Mom?
Isn't sleeping almost like a before death kind of thing? I mean, you're not quite here, quite there.
Excellent. Okay, so that's the other view, right? That maybe it's not just about physically being there, but there needs to be some sort of cognitive awareness that you are there. Okay, so let's see. I'll get you in a second, Nitza, but let's see where this is expressly stated. Says the Magen Avraham, who's a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. You see his years here. Mitztaref imahem. The Shulchan Aruch said above that a person who's sleeping counts.
What?
He says, he's commenting, remember, he's commenting on the Shulchan Aruch. So the Shulchan Aruch says he counts, and now he's commenting, hold on one second, excuse me. Uh-oh. Where'd you go? Hold on a second. I lost my source sheet, but I'm going to get it back. Okay. So he says, he's commenting on the, right here, he's commenting on the, does everyone see it? Is it being shared or not? Do you see the source sheet?
Yes.
Yes, okay. So he says as follows, mitzarifim him. Like the logic was, he's quoting the logic. As long as there are 10 people, God is there. The Katav, he quotes Rav Levi Chabib, etc. V'lir near the Ein LaHakel. He says, I do not think we should be lenient on this. Daha ikar or ayat maharil me'achar de'ika man da'amar de'katan hamutal barisa mitztaref afal pishen yachol la'anot. Remember, the proof from this was about the baby in the crib. He says, "Va'aftelo kaimalan hachi hainu shein ashkina shara ella al gedolim ve'im kein dayo lavo min hadin liot kenidun ma gabe katan dafka echad velo bet af gabe yash." Oh, I'm sorry. I don't want that. Sorry about that. That's talking about you should have more than one or two. Let's look at the Mishnah Brura. The Mishnah Brura quotes the Taz, which is here. Okay, let's go to the Taz. I have this out of order.
You're reading the quarter two, right?
Here we go. The Mishnah Brura, we have the Taz, who is another commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. He says, Utami Ali, this is, I don't get it. It's shocking to me. It's troubling to me. Dishani Beresha Da'afal Pishumit Palel Ve'enu Yachol Hafsik V'lanote Matzibur Mikom Akom Yachol Lishtok V'shomea Ki'oneh Masha'en Kan B'yoshen. We said that a person who can't answer because they're in the middle of davening counts, and likewise so does someone who's sleeping counts. But says the Taz, these are different things. A person who was there and awake, but simply cannot answer because of halachic reasons, is fully cognitively there and aware of what's going on, or maybe what Leora is suggesting is participating. They're a full-fledged participant in what's going on, which is not the case with someone sleeping. They have no idea what's going on, even if they... Masha Yesh Lomar Alav Dilma Shani Yoshein Shehu Garua Mekatan. A sleeping person may be worse than the baby. De'ein Bo Kedusha. Ah, here we go. Because the sleeping person brings no sanctity. Why? And he quotes the Zohar. Desalka Mine Nishmata. Listen to this. When you are sleeping, your neshama goes away. Your soul goes away. V'lo habi b'chlal kedusha. And therefore, there is no sanctity. The sanctity comes when there are 10 Jewish souls. But when you're sleeping, this is a Kabbalistic idea. I don't fully understand how it works, but the Taz quotes it. When you're sleeping, right, your soul goes away. And so therefore, you can't claim that God's presence is there. So says the Taz, I don't like this for two reasons. One, because the guy's totally out of it. He's not participating at all. Maybe that's what Leora was getting at. Maybe that's what he's trying to say. And the second reason is the requirement for there to be sanctity requires a neshama. And there's no neshama because his neshama goes away when you sleep. And so the Taz is quoted in the Mishnah Brura. Va'ayin b'Taz shecholek le'inyan yoshein b'savarle de'ein mitztaref. The Taz disagrees with the Beit Yosef and disagrees with the Shulchan Aruch and says you cannot count the sleeping person. And then he adds another reason. V'hiskimimu ha'pri chadash di yoshein chashiv kishote. A sleeping person is considered to be someone who has, a limited mental capacity, who normally would not be counted in a minyan, which on some level makes sense. So we have now three reasons why we would not count the sleeping person. One, they are completely unable to even recognize that they're part of a minyan. If the person is silent because they can't daven, but they understand what's going around in their surroundings. Number two, when you're sleeping, your neshama leaves, so there's no kedusha. There's no sanctity. And number three, when you're sleeping, you may be considered to be someone who lacks certain mental capacity who normally would not be counted in a minyan anyway. Okay? And we have another reason. Or similar reason. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav, Rabbi Shneur Zalman of Liadi, the founder of Chabad Chassidut, says in his Shulchan Aruch, V'yesh Yomrim, let's say someone who is sleeping counts in the 10, even though he can't answer them. I ask this question. More than one, that's not proper kavod shamayim, to include more than one sleeping person. But then he says, v'yesh omrim, she'ein l'dmut yoshein l'mitpalel. You can't compare someone who's sleeping to someone who's davening and can't answer. Lefisha yoshein nishmato mistaleket mimenu, like we said before. His soul leaves them. Ve'ein kedusha shore alav. And there's no sanctity there. So he says at the end, you should just wake the person. You should wake the person up. And finally, Aruch HaShulchan, it's two more. Two more reasons. The Aruch HaShulchan says this, Aval ha-yoshein l'shatohu kimet be'alma. V'lachein anu mivarchin ha-machazir nishamot lefgarim meitim. When we wake up in the morning, what do we say? We make a bracha thanking God for rising us from the dead. So sleep is like death. It's not just that your neshama leaves. It's like you're dead. So I'm pretty sure that all of you would agree that if there were nine living people in the room and one dead person in the room, right, that we would not count, the dead person, right? That we would not count the dead person. So similarly, says the Aruch HaShulchan, we can't count the dead person in this case. Okay? So, and finally, and then we'll wrap up all of them and try to understand the conceptual difference going on between them. Then we have the Rambam. The Rambam says as follows. A little out of context, but I'll explain. This is talking about the Kohen who's doing the Avodah, the service in the Beit HaMikdash. Before the Kohen does the service in the Beit HaMikdash, he has to wash his hands. Just like we have to wash our hands in the morning. He has to wash his hands. So says the Rambam, Ein HaKohen Sarich LeKadesh Ben Kol Avodah V'Avodah. Once the Kohen washes his hands in the morning and starts doing the various work in the Beit HaMikdash, he does not have to wash his hand between this part of the service and another part of the service. Elapam Achat MiKadesh BaBoker. He just washes once in the morning and does the service in the Beit HaMikdash all day long and into the night. However, as long as he did not leave the Beit HaMikdash, v'lo yishan, nor did he sleep. So if he left or he slept, he has to do the avodah again. Based on this, Rabbi Yehuda Aryeh Leib Alter, who was the Gera Rebbe, the head of Gera Chassidim, and you see his years, he says as follows. Ayin b'Rambam, yoshein sarich l'kadesh shenit. He quotes the Rambam, that someone who leaves the Beit HaMikdash, I'm sorry, someone who slept, a Kohen who takes a nap in the middle of the day has to wash again. Bakesef Mishnah Katav Mishum Hesech Hadat. And one opinion is because he took his mind off the Avodah. So since he took his mind off the service of the Beit HaMikdash, he has to wash again. However, says the Sfat Emet, V'lo Mashmakein B'Rambam. I don't think this is what the Rambam means. Dekasuv Yoshein O Hesech Hadat. He wrote both things. He says, "V'lo yishan, v'lo yatil mayim, v'lo yasiach dato," indicating that sleeping and becoming distracted are two separate things. You can't tell me, says the Sfat Emet, that sleeping is being distracted, because you've already listed distracted. And once you listed distracted, if it's the same as sleeping, you shouldn't have had to list sleeping. So why is sleeping listed twice? I'm sorry, why is sleeping listed at all? So he says as follows. V'yesh lomar hatam dehave kiyetse lachutz. Sleeping is as if you left the room. Because your soul leaves. So it's possible that sleeping, it's as if there's no longer 10 people in the room. Because sleeping in the Beit HaMikdash is counted as leaving. So maybe also in the Beit HaKnesset, sleeping is counted as leaving. Okay, so now that we have all of these things, let's recap. We have a machloket. The Beit Yosef says sleeping counts because it's a function of there being 10 bodies in the room. Right? 10 bodies in the room. However, we have a whole nother list of poskim who say no. We have the Sfat Emet who says it's like you have left the room. We have the Aruch HaShulchan who says it's like you're dead. We have the Shulchan Aruch HaRav who similarly says, well, your neshama leaves, so the sanctity is gone. And we have that in the Taz as well. And then we finally have the Pri Chadash, who says it's as if a person who sleeps is considered to have some sort of psychological or mental deficiency. So what do you think is conceptually the argument between these two schools of thought? Anyone want to try to nail this down to just give me the conceptual argument between the two groups? Any suggestions? Okay, Nitza, please.
They talk about the mental status, where the neshama goes with the mental status. But as we know, there are different levels of sleeping. There is a light sleeping that you hear everything that goes around you, and you can still participate, in my opinion. There is a sleeping under hypnosis that it ends up that you know everything what's happening. And you talk like during sleeping, but you know what's going on. So what Shina are they talking? He didn't leave his chair. He didn't go home and lie down and slept.
Right.
He's sitting in a synagogue, right?
Right. So what's the conceptual argument? What are the two sides arguing about?
One side is arguing that if he is sleeping, it's like he left the place. The other side said, no, he's sleeping, he's still here. This is the argument. And the argument is that the neshama is not with him. And I don't agree.
So it seems that the conceptual argument, I think it was well put in this piece here, which I will share with you. Okay, it could be this. Down here, v'nira she'shoresh machloket haposkim im yoshein mitzaref leminyan taloi b'sheila hayisodit ha'im yoshein mufka mechiyuv kiyum hamitzvot v'dino kishote olo. Right, the question is, does sleeping change your status or not? That's what they're conceptually arguing about. Does sleeping change your status? According to the first group, it does not change your status. Your status is of a full-fledged present Jew, and therefore you count in a minyan. The second group is, it does change your status. Sleeping changes your status, and then we have to decide if that particular change in status counts in a minyan or not. So if it changes your status to the extent that you're dead, obviously you don't count in a minyan. if it changes your status to the extent that you are considered to be a shote with then who is not obligated in certain in mitzvot, then you would not count it a minyan. If it changes your status to the extent that your neshama is not there and therefore the sanctity is not there, then you don't count it a minyan. Right? That's what the conceptual argument is. Does sleeping change your status or not? And one of the questions is, does sleeping make you an offshoot of that? Would be, does sleeping, are you obligated in mitzvot or you're not obligated in mitzvot when you are sleeping? That's too much for us to get into, but that is the conceptual disagreement between, let's say, the Beit Yosef and the people he quotes and the other poskim who disagree with him. He says you do count, and the other poskim say you don't count, again, because of this notion of whether or not sleeping is considered to be a change of status. So that's the conceptual disagreement. Yes, Zach.
I would like to say that in English we have an excellent word describing deep thoughts. If somebody dreaming, look what word was used, dreaming. We dream during sleep. It's so natural for a human mind, even during scientific lecture, during davening. Our mind wonder. This is very, very common. And therefore, it's no difference between to be asleep or be dreaming or be deeply involved in your thoughts. And you have open eyes, but you see nothing. So much you inside. Therefore, I vote for a first group who are much more practical with understanding how human mind works.
Okay, excellent. By the way, Nitza, there is a whole article which I did not have a chance to read about someone who's hypnotized, like you said, and what their status is in halacha. So that's another question. Okay, I see a couple of comments, and then we're going to move on to one final note. Okay, so Emily, go ahead.
I'm curious as to how the idea that, you know, sleeping, a person who's sleeping, you know, isn't there or, you know, whatever plays with the fact that, you know, there are people who actually are aware and can remember and everything that they heard while they were asleep.
So that's a good question. So if you it's interesting. None of the authorities who say you do not count in a minyan, they don't really say, it's not about whether they're cognizant or not, right? It's as if their soul has left. It's as if they're dead. It's as if they've left the room. Doesn't really matter whether you remember or not, I think, right?
It yeah, but like the fact that you could remember kind of would indicate to me that something is still there.
No, because, well, I think they're looking at it differently. I think they're looking at it as a halachic construct, right? Whether someone's sleeping, does it change their status regardless of whether, because like we said, you could have someone who is fully awake, like Zach said, and completely unaware of what's going on, and they do count. So it does not seem to be about awareness. It seems to be about status, and the status is not about awareness.
Okay.
That question helps us clarify this together with Zach's point. That you could have someone sitting in there, and this goes back to, I think, Hannah's question. You could have someone sitting in there who doesn't know any Hebrew at all, who doesn't know what's going on at the service at all, who's holding the sitter upside down, right? They have no idea what's going on, but they count, right? Because it's about this, about status, not about really knowing what's, of course, that's not the, again, because again, you have to remember, this is not about davening. We're not talking about whether someone has fulfilled their obligation to pray or not. That's a totally different question. This is simply, can they count in the minyan?
The head count, I think.
Soul count, I think we have to say now.
Soul count, okay.
Soul count. The heads are there, but the souls aren't there. Colin. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was wondering if it isn't that what is it in Kabbalah that they say that when you go to sleep, your soul goes to God, and you're not there, you're as if you're dead.
Yeah, that's
God gave it back to you. So if you want to view it like if the body is sitting there, then you could say you could be sleeping. But if your soul and your mind has to be there, then you're not there.
Right. That's why I think they come on to this idea of the, that the soul leaves, and then there's a, that's a real change of status. And therefore, they're not there. Okay. Shula. You have to unmute, Shula.
You discuss it, you have to define what does it mean sleeping, because there's so many kinds of sleeping.
You're right. That's
if
a very
you're
good
dozing
point.
Off, on.
Oh, very good.
You're still.
You are right, Shula. And some of the posts.
Isn't you're taking away completely?
Yes.
But that's why.
You are correct.
There's no definition here what the action means.
I'm trying to find the source that. At some point, I saw somewhere a bunch of sources say, I don't know if I brought it, say that at the very least, you should wake the person up, even if once you wake them up, they are mitnanea, right there, dozing, drowsy. So you're right. There are definitely different types different categories of sleep. Okay, let's see. Obeth had a question early on, which I want to address. Is Hashem not among us even out of a holy place? Well, yeah, that's a good question. That's the whole idea of Hashem's presence being there. I would say that Hashem's presence being there for the purpose of tefillah is different than God's presence everywhere else. Yeah, that's a good point. All right, let's just see one other thing here. We have a Mishnah. What about if you're sleeping, right? You're guest in someone's house. And you're sleeping, and in the middle of sleep, you you turn over and you knock over a lamp, and it breaks. In your sleep, you didn't do it on purpose. So what's the halachic obligation there? So we're not going to get into too many of the details, but as a starter, you should see this. The Gemara says in Bava Kamma, Adam Muad Olam. The legal status of a person is always that of forewarned, meaning forewarned is a halachic category. If you're forewarned and then you damage something, you're obligated to pay the full damages. Right? If you have an animal, let's say, who has not ever done damage before and does a certain type of damage, the owner only has to pay half the damages. But if this animal damages three times, then they're considered to be mu'ad, forewarned, and the owner is now fully responsible for any damages that they do. Says the Mishnah, a person is always forewarned, right? We don't have to do something three times to be considered mu'ad, to be considered forewarned. We're always forewarned. Adam mu'ad le'olam, ben shogeg, ben mezid. Therefore, whether the damage was unintentional or intentional, ben er u'ben yoshen, whether they are awake or they are asleep, Sima et ein chavero v'shiber et hakelim mishalem nezek shalem. If you're sleeping and you roll over and you break someone's vase or lamp or whatever it is, you have to pay full damages. Which is why whenever I break things in someone's house, I quickly sweep them under the rug and leave. Okay, so a person is always muad. Even a sleeping person. Let's just look at the Tosfot. Okay? Why? The Gemara says, why are they obligated? Kevan dekayef upashit orche hu. Since one contracts and extends his limbs when sleeping, it is his typical manner to damage objects placed to him. Birushalmi yesh diyoshen lo michayev Ella kishehishchiv atzmo etzel hakelim. When are you obligated to pay? When you walk into the room and you see, okay, there's a lamp over here and there's a vase over here and there's, you know, a Ming Dynasty jar over here, okay? And you go to sleep and you know it's all there. And then in the middle of the night, you wake up or you turn around and you break it, you're obligated because you knew what was there. However, if in the middle of the night you're sleeping and your host walks in and puts a Ming Dynasty vase next to you, then you're not obligated because at that point you were put in that situation. You didn't put yourself in that situation. But nonetheless, the point of the Gemara, of the Tosfot is, right, that if you are sleeping and you are aware of your surroundings beforehand, you are considered mu'ad, and therefore you are liable to pay the full damages. So it's not only is a person, so it's interesting, in the context of davening, let's think about this, and this helps us clarify, in the context of tefillah, the majority opinion is if you're sleeping, you're not fully there. And you don't count because it's about some aspect of sanctity, which is missing in the absence of 10 fully present men. But in the context of damages, it's not about sanctity. It's not about your change in status. It's about whether you physically caused the damage. In that case, you are considered to be fully there. You did it. You can't say it was a dead guy who did it, or it was the guy without the neshama who did it. That does not come into play, it sounds like, when it comes to the question of damages. So we see now, at least when it comes to sleeping, we see that halacha looks at it in two different ways in these two contexts. It looks at it in one way in the context of tefillah, and another way in the context of damages. Okay. I think that's a good place to stop. I'll just give you something to think about. We talked before about whether or not someone who's sleeping is obligated in fulfillment of the mitzvot, right? So let's say someone is sleeping, and it comes time for the Shema, right? And if you don't wake them up, they're going to miss the time for the Shema, and they're obligated, right, to say the Shema by a certain time every day. Are you obligated to wake them up? Not can you, not should you. It would be nice if you did. Are you obligated to wake them up?
I would say yes.
Why would you say yes?
Because according to what you said here, that the Neshama is not there, he has to be there fully aware when he says it.
Ah, but the other thing could be true. If his neshama is not fully there, he's not chayav at this point.
That's what the other way is saying.
So he doesn't. You could argue you don't have to wake him up, because a sleeping person is not obligated in mitzvot because his status has changed, therefore I don't have to wake him.
That's what the other is saying.
Right, I don't have to wake him at all. In fact, that's what Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says. He says something even more extreme. He says, let's say You know, there's obligation to, there's a prohibition to sleep outside the sukkah on sukkahs. Okay, now there's all sorts of excuses why people don't sleep in the sukkah, but let's just stick with this for a second. There's a prohibition against sleeping outside the sukkah on Sukkot. So let's say you're in a sukkah, and I walk in, and there's no room for me to lie down, and I want to go to sleep. Am I allowed to take a sleeping person out? Can me and a friend lift up a sleeping person's bed, their cot that's in the sukkah, and move it outside the sukkah? Or if I do that, am I now causing them to be in violation of the prohibition against sleeping outside the sukkah? So according to our approach, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, take him out. He's sleeping. He's not obligated in mitzvot while he's sleeping, but I want to go to sleep. So since I want to go to sleep and I'm obligated in mitzvot, and now when I'm sleeping, someone else could take me out. But at least now I'm obligated not to sleep outside the sukkah. So I gotta find the spot so I could take him out of the sukkah. That's how far Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach takes this point that a sleeping person is not obligated in mitzvot, because it, for any of the list of five or six reasons that we noted. Okay, Yaffa, I saw you had your hand up. Please, just unmute yourself. We can't hear you, Yaffa. You have to unmute. Okay, go ahead.
In general, are you allowed to sleep in a holy place like a place like a shul?
Ah, that's a good question.
Because why Yaakov was so terrified when he wakes up and he said, if I would know that it's holy place, I wouldn't sleep.
Right.
So why he was so terrified? It wasn't in the middle of praying.
Right. So he was concerned. He felt it was inappropriate to sleep in a place like that.
So it's not, you're not allowed, it's not appropriate. What is it? To sleep in a shul, it's okay or not?
No, it's not really okay to sleep in a shul. Sometimes you fall asleep there, but shuls have different levels of sanctity depending on how it was built, under what conditions it was built. But really, one should not sleep in a shul. One should not sleep in a shul. In a Beit Midrash, sleeping in a study hall is viewed a little bit differently. But one should not sleep in the shul. But now we're talking about a person who did, they just fell asleep. They didn't on purpose. They didn't come to the sleep on purpose. Okay. Good question, Yaffa. Thank you. Okay, Marilyn Cameron, you have a question. Just unmute yourself.
Rabbi, I'm not Marilyn. I'm Ron.
Okay, Ron.
I'm just under Marilyn, her.
Your voice has changed.
That's the way it goes. What if somebody, there's 10 people in a minyan. One person all of a sudden gets very sick and collapses. Is the minyan still considered a minyan?
Well, first, here's the first few things. Call 911.
Well, yeah. Call 911. Okay. What happened there? Sorry. I don't know what happened there.
Yeah, I think I froze. It was me. Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Well, you got to call 911. That's the first thing you got to do and take care of the sick person. Right. And then I would say, it depends how, just practically it depends how serious it is. If the person is awake and doing better and he doesn't have to go to the hospital, then you could count the person in the minyan. But the first concern before anything would be to make sure that they're okay. If they stick around, then you could count them in the minyan. But while they're collapsed, I wouldn't worry about that because we have bigger things to worry about.
Yeah, well, I mean, that actually happened in shul one time when I was there. That's before you came here.
Right. Since I came, no one's gotten sick.
That's right. Thank you. Thank God.
Except of me. Okay, everyone. Have a wonderful day. It was wonderful to study with you again. Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Next week, everyone go take a nap. Bye-bye.